Okay, 1 Corinthians 14. We'll resume again. Let's start at verse 36. And we only have four verses, so I'm pretty sure we make it to the end of this chapter. And just to recap, somewhat of recap, Paul is laying down order for the local, how the edification is to take place in the local assembly in Corinth. And we found out last week about the order for the prophets, the order for those who speak in tongues, the order for the members in the assembly, the men are the leaders in the assembly, and we learned how the women are to function in the assembly. In verse 34, Paul says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, I think we talked about last week, just the order is, he didn't mean speak as far as saying anything verbally. That was in the sense of prophesying and speaking in tongues in the church, taking a role of leadership mm-hmm. in the local assembly. And when you look at what's going on there, it's not hard to, well, to me, I'm not a woman though, it's not hard to see what God is doing there. And we looked at some, I thought it, and maybe you guys different, we looked at some issues last week about not only tongues being a sign of judgment, but also when you see women and children leading the local assembly, you know something has gone wrong in God's order. And we looked at those verses in the Old Testament when you see where the nation was under judgment. And that little phrase we looked at when he says, and his mother's name was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's mentioned all over the place. But if you're not following God in his judgment on the nation, those little things don't mean anything to you. And when people try to defend things that are out of order, such as women pastors or women preachers, those are the issues, those are the flags in God's word that they never see.
But they see them as giving them permission because they don't see.
Exactly. Because they'll say, well, look at Deborah.
Right.
Well, look at Mary. Well, look at the daughters of the prophets, or Philip's daughters. Or look at
Delilah.
Yeah. Or you know, yeah. Those type things. Yeah.
Miriam.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, it's ironic. You know what Miriam's name means? Bitter.
No.
And the first thing she did was step out of line. And you know what happened to her, right? She got put out of the camp for a while, gave her time to think about who's really in charge. And then God brought her back in. But those are just little things that they're big things, actually. They're little verses, but there's truth packed in those verses that support God's order. And when you're working with God, it's not a hard thing to say, I'm just not the man or woman. You understand what I'm saying? It's when Paul lays down an order for bishops in chapter 3, it's okay to say, you know what, I'm not the guy. Because it's not about us, it's we're working together with him. We should be. And it's no problem. If you don't meet the qualifications, That's for believers. Now today we'll twist them and turn them, and actually we completely disregard them. All I need is a resume. Well, if I give you my resume, if I meet your approval, then like we joked about, if they run the church, then I'm in.
Right. Or you know.
Right. But if God runs the church, not so much. I remember a couple of weeks ago we looked at how God always, when he has qualifications for the men that he chooses, when he says, look out among you and pick out some men and then give them the Spirit or lay hands on them. Or like in Acts chapter 7, when he tells them to pick out seven men among you full of the Holy Spirit, and he gives them qualifications. And he says, you ordain them. He always has an order to keep his church going. When I say his church. Now, our churches, we do a little differently. So that's why when Paul said this, he says in verse 34, he says, let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be in obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now I'll ask you, why?
Because it...
Because of what he
did. Okay. Oh, that's right back. Yeah, you covered a lot of ground. But he said because of that, because of what Eve did.
Because it's demonstrating, it's not demonstrating God's established order. It's, and we are the body of Christ, so would be not displaying what he's laid out, the course for his body.
The proper order. Right. If it's not God's way, then what?
It's the wrong way.
You know what? You can push it for a while. You can pull it for a while. But if he's not driving it,
what's the point?
It's just not. That's why when God does that, and when he lets every man, when Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, let every man take heed how he builds on this foundation. He doesn't say don't build. He just said, take heed how you build on this. He didn't tell anybody to, you know what, stop your ministry. Stop it. He didn't say that. He says, work. Work all you want. He said, but be careful about how you work and what you work with. He said, because the day is coming, well, it will be manifest what you do, why you do what you do. And then every man shall have praise of God. And I'm saying that because you look out here and it looks like everybody's succeeding but us.
Because they're judging by the world standards.
They're judging by the world standards. And it's not God's way.
Pleasing people.
That's, you know, if you don't believe anything else, you have to believe this. God is always in the minority, not the majority. Always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go through that wide gate.
Believers don't believe that. Somewhere tonight, no, somewhere tomorrow, you know, Wednesday's the day, you know. This.
We're out of order.
Right. Somewhere. Tomorrow night, you can't get in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Somewhere Sunday, they're going in. They're going in like,
yeah,
front to back. You know, like you're in line for a movie or something. You can't get in there. But they're not preaching this. Guarantee. Who's right?
The word
is right. God establishes an order, and Most times it's not done that way. Do you think they were think there were a lot of people in Corinth?
Yeah, sure. The big commercial
that's what he said. He said what? He said in verse 26, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation." At least five people out of order.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got them beat by one. But I'm sure it's more than that. And notice, in the verse we just passed, he says, "Let your women keep silence in the church."
Churches.
In the what?
Churches.
What does that tell you? Churches.
And they're not body, the church, one and only church.
The one there? Well, there's only one and only church, universal. But what does that tell you geographically about Corinth?
A lot of their number of assemblies.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a number of assemblies. Yeah. At least two.
Yeah, and the problem was all over.
And the problem was right. Now, that was interesting. I was thinking about this, and we're going to plow through. We got enough time to take our time through this. But I was thinking the other night is, when did the church, just a side note, look at Acts chapter 9. Acts 2, Acts 9. Acts 2, Acts 9. Acts 2 and 9. Acts 2 and then Acts 9.
I think it's really interesting talking about all the other denominations and that they don't teach what we teach. It's just Christianity, like. Man, I was talking to a friend of mine today, and she goes, "I just love reading the Bible." I said, "Well, you know, that's good. That's where you really connect with the Lord." And she goes, "It just reads like a novel."
Oh, my God.
A novel?
She likes the stories.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Okay, what I said, Acts 2. Verse 43. "And fear came upon every soul." This is after the day of Pentecost. "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved."
Church.
What's that?
Church.
Church. Okay. Acts chapter 9. Verse 26. This is Paul gets saved. Ananias witnessed to him. He's chosen. They go about to kill him. They send him away. 26. "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. When the brethren knew When the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now, my question, just a little technical question, is when did the church become churches?
After they got scattered from Jerusalem?
After they got scattered from Jerusalem?
That church didn't become churches.
That church didn't become churches. The one in Acts 2 didn't become churches.
When they met in homes?
Well, that's we know that when these people went out, they began preaching to none but the Jews only. So they started the church started developing little what?
Satellite branches.
Now, let me ask you something before we get back to Corinthians. Is that the fulfillment of the Great Commission, or the commission that in Acts 1, where he says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria?
No, because they were supposed to get all of Jerusalem before they. I mean, they were scattered because of the persecution. The disciples stayed because they had to evangelize all of Jerusalem before they moved out. It's the way I understand it.
Okay. Anybody else? I'm just asking that because when you just look at the sequence, he says in Acts 9, he says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Sounds just like everything's fine, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that's the point where we know it wasn't, because the apostles were left at Jerusalem. There's no word of the Lord going out of Jerusalem like the prophecy says, go out of Jerusalem in peace. It was done under persecution. And when they go out, it was to be to the Jews first. Right? So all of a sudden, Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 9. And when he's preaching, he goes to the Gentiles. Right?
He always went to the Jews
first. And then he goes to the Gentiles. And they begin to carry the word out. What's wrong with that picture?
Out of order.
It's out of order? Why? What makes it out of order, though? Salvation is of the Jews. So if the salvation message, if it's God's way and it's going out, it will always be. It will always be from and through
the Jew.
Not the Jews. Not the Gentiles. So you see all these people that's helping Paul. Why is he sending Titus? He's sending Timothy, who's a half-Jew. He's sending all these Gentiles to do the ministry. But it shouldn't be that way if it's going the way the prophecy was going. So you can see a thing. Just because you see the churches, they're starting to multiply, most people will say, well, there it is. The grace message was, the body of Christ is right here. Everything's fine. The body of Christ was, that's why people will say Acts 2 is when the body of Christ started. Because they see this sequence going out, but they don't realize that it's not the right order. Okay.
Right. It's the right message.
It's a message. And then that message changes. It's repentance, water baptism. Then it's repentance, no water, and tongues. Everything's all is shifting all the way through there.
Right.
So what's wrong with the order? God, he has to shake it up because he's changing. And he's letting them know that this is not the same way it used to be.
Right. It became a new order.
It's that old order's going out, new order's coming in. You see, in anyway, that's not our lesson. But the reason I said that was to show you that the word of God came to those people, and they acted on the light that they had.
Right.
And as God began to change, it's his responsibility to give that word to his people that he's changing and to instruct them in the new way. That's why he raises up Paul and he says, listen, he says, Ananias says, he has chosen you, Paul, that thou shouldest see his face and know his will. Well, we just had 12 that saw his face and knew his will.
Why
do we need another one? That's right. So he's coming up. He gives them a new message to enlighten his people about what's going on. That's why he'll tell you, and he says, and this time, he says, I went to Jerusalem. This time, I went up
by revelation
to communicate teaching word. Them, that gospel that they already knew.
And contrary-wise,
he said, that I preach among the Gentiles.
They added nothing to me, but contrary-wise.
And when they saw that, they gave him the right hand of fellowship. So anyway, I said all that because the change is God's responsibility to enlighten his people.
Which is why he gave Peter the dream.
Which is why when he's going out, which is why all those things happen in Acts, because God's changing and he's alerting them that things are different. So when they're sitting there in Jerusalem, Peter, James, and John, and all the money's gone, all the food's gone.
Lord, you prepared us for this.
Peter's looking at James. James looking at John. John's looking at James. James looking at Peter.
You better go fishing.
They're thinking, what are we doing wrong here? All of a sudden, this guy walks in the door and he says, hey, how's it going? And they said, hey, we're struggling here. He says, have a seat. Sit down. Let's talk about that while you're struggling. And he says, God is doing something different today. They can't argue with it. Can they? And they said, that's why. That's why the money's gone. That's why everybody's gone but us. That's why when they died, they didn't replace them.
That was it.
All they can say is, oh, tell us a little bit more about this. He said, I will. When I get more, you get more. Okay, Corinth. That's setting us up for the next verse, Corinth. He says in verse 36, what? Question mark. Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? That's a big verse. He's asking the Corinthians a question because of their behavior, because of the way they are treating the word of God among them. Because of the way they are acting out of order, out of God's order. Paul has to ask them a question. What? He says, came the word of God out from you? Did this Does this order originate from you? Are you setting the tone for God's program? You? My old English teacher used to say, when we're in the classroom and maybe you blurting out a turn or answering the questions, she said, "Hey, wait a minute. Who died and made you boss?" And that's what Paul's asking the Corinthians, saying, "Wait a minute. Who died and made you boss?" The word of God is not originating from Corinth. He says, or what? Or came it unto you only? The buck didn't stop there, and it didn't generate there. We said, well, what do you mean? That wasn't a one monkey show. When Corinth, when they were out of order, he says, wait a minute. This is not what you're doing. You can't uphold that. You know when people do that today? Uphold their own doctrine? You know what we call that? A denomination. Because they think this is the way we always did it. Well, it's always been wrong. That doesn't mean it's right. Or you can't take the people that come to the witness, that come to her house, to come to Karen's house. They're coming week after week, or they come, but they're not coming for light. They're coming to change her. That's what he says. Did it come to you only or out from you? You know what? They think nobody's right but us. So it's our responsibility to change your mind. We need to get you on track. But Paul's writing in the Corinthians. He says, you're off track. And you can't stay that way. That's why he says, did the word of God come out from you? Or did it come to you only? They're just a small part in God's big program. They have been entrusted with a responsibility to work with God. Look at this verse. I think this is interesting. John chapter 10. It's no different today. You know what? And this is in the grace. And I don't even like to use that terminology anymore. In the grace movement. You know what? We think we're the only one that have all the answers. We have a lot of answers. But we think we have all the answers. We don't think anybody in the Baptist faith could show us anything, even though they're stuck on that doctrine. We don't think anybody in the Pentecostal faith can show us anything. We don't think anybody in any other denomination could show us anything, because we have the key. And we do. But it didn't come to us only. And it's not coming out from us either. Only. Have you ever read a book from a person of another denomination that helped you tremendously?
Yes.
Sure.
Did you agree with everything in it?
No.
That's where you eat the meat and spit out the bones. But you got to know what are bones.
Exactly. What did I say?
John 10.
John 10, okay. Verse 25. We're going to get all the red letters here. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answering, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou being a man makest thyself God. Here's what we want. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? Little g. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said that I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Now, I went to this verse because he used the example. He says, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Now, in Jesus' day, the Jews were on one side, right? And Jesus and his disciples were on the other side. Who had the truth?
Jesus and his disciples.
Let me rephrase that. The Jews had the law.
Mm-hmm.
That was truth.
Mm-hmm. And it came from God.
And it came from God. We just read it. It came to them. He called them gods to whom the word of God came. They had it. So now here's Jesus and his disciples. Now here's the Jews. And I ask you again, who had the truth?
They both did.
They both did. The question is, who had the present truth?
The latest
truth, yes. The progressing truth.
The Lord
did. So his works didn't match up with their works. So, what does that tell you about the Word of God back there?
It's progressive.
Yes. That's the word. That is progressive. But you can say this. The Word of God, even though it came to the Jews, it what? It left them and went somewhere else, didn't it? Or it came to someone else, which would be Jesus and his little group.
Right.
And that's what, when he comes and starts doing the Beatitudes, he says, you have heard it said of them in old time.
What I say.
Well, what does that tell you about the truth? It's what?
It's not only progressive, but it also shows that Jesus is Jehovah, because otherwise, how could he be sinless, and yet he's correcting or adding to what God, Jehovah of the Old Testament said.
He can't.
In fact, the verse you read in 34 is Jesus answered him and said, is it not written in your law, I said, you're God. See, right there, he's
right.
Knowing he's Jehovah God.
And the whole point is, you see the change in the Word of God. Even though it's here, it's shifting, and here all of a sudden the Lord has it.
Right. But it's
not
all
of a sudden.
But it's all truth.
It's all truth. But it's changing.
He's got some further revelations in a sense, and kind of go back to where he started. And when he says in verse 30, I and my Father are one, that would be like you're bringing it back to say, even within the grace movement, we think we know it all. Well, then they who had that truth thought they knew it all. So when he gave that further revelation, they said, let's stone it.
Right.
They weren't ready to
accept further revelation. And more importantly than that, when he says that I and my Father are one, he is emphasizing the fact that I'm working with him. Mm-hmm. You aren't. Mm-hmm. Now, look at the Corinthians now. He gives them all these gifts. They're working in the midst, but it's out of order. And he's telling them now, he says, you're not working with me. That's not my truth. The majority of the body of Christ today is not working with him. We're deformed. The Lord has a deformed body if we look at it like it is. Everybody's, you know, it's something going on. It's something. It's a lot of activity, but it's not organized. So you think, wait a minute, what's going on here? You understand? The signals from the head is it's not getting out. It's not the head's fault. The Corinthians or Colossians and Ephesians talks about the head, and we're not holding the head. So he said, verse back to back to chapter 14. Verse 37. If any man, and here's the emphasis, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the what? The things that I write, he says, let him acknowledge that they are the commandments of the Lord. Now, we're not in Corinth. Now, but go back there. Pretend you're in Corinth. And you have a gift. Like they say today, what's your gift? Well, my gift is this. Or my gift is that. Okay, you have the gift. You're in Corinth. We're in the local assembly. You can't wait to show this gift. Even though it's out of order. And then you get a letter from Paul. And it says, two or three, and by course.
Well,
and you got five prophets. Well, who's going to be the three?
Yeah.
I'm going to be one, I know. Because it's about me. I got a word from the Lord. Me too. Well, who's going to speak in tongues? Surely you got a tongue. I'm next. And they're reading these instructions, and they say, I have to exercise my gift. I can't stifle the spirit. I can't restrain the spirit, quench the spirit. And so Paul says, wait a minute. He said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the
commandments of the Lord.
Now, he's laying down an order. He says, the word of God didn't come out from you. Your order, your established disorder is not from God. I'm writing to you to show you what God wants. And if you are spiritual or a prophet, then you acknowledge what I'm writing to you has to be obeyed. And if you don't do it, guess what I know about you?
you're not spiritual or a prophet.
You're not. But on the contrary, you're what?
Carnal.
Or carnal. And the next verse says that you're
ignorant.
Ignorant. Ignorant about what God is really doing. That's rough. The first, when Paul writes Romans, he says that I have received grace and apostleship for this message. He says, for the obedience of faith among what? All right, Romans. Romans chapter 1. And then 16 for good measure. Romans 1, verse 1. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among most of the nations.
All nations.
Some of the nations.
All nations.
The Gentiles.
All nations.
He says, we have received grace and apostleship. What's an apostleship?
Ascending.
Ascending. You know what?
Commissioned sending.
We know it. How do you spell it? Apostle.
Apostle.
He said, we received grace and apostleship. We know God enabled him, right? We know this is to what?
Yeah.
To send out. Or to send from. Or to. Same thing. To send. Apple from. Okay? A-P-O. Not apple. Like apple. Ship. That's an old English suffix, which means shape. Or form. Or mode. That's what that. So when he's sending him out, what do you think that when the apostles went out, the message was to do what? To transform those people. To change those people. To shape those people. To have those people really to be on the same page as the sender. John says this. When Jesus and John, he says this. He that receiveth me receiveth him who sent me. Let's hold your hand. Oh, 16. Go to Romans 16 just to hold that in your finger there. Wow. And it's John. I believe it was John chapter 7. Yes. Got John 7? Okay. Then, excuse me. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. What's that?
What verse are you in?
I'm sorry. 7:25. Okay. I'm sorry. 25. He says, Why y'all let me go like that? I just looked up and I saw him looking like, where is he? You could say something.
I just thought that everybody heard it but me. So I.
Oh, okay.
I feel like you're in a different translation.
Okay, next time.
Okay, I'm sorry. He says 7:25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me." What does that make Jesus? And he said, he sent me. I know where I'm from, and I know him who what? What does that make him?
An apostle.
An apostle. Thank you. Y'all are scared to say that.
That's it.
All right.
Made him God.
Okay. Flip over to verse or chapter 13. John 13:16.
An apostle in definition.
An apostle in definition. For 13:16. And in function. Verily, verily, I say unto you, 13:16, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. The apostle is not greater than the one who sent him. The servant is not greater than the Lord. Okay?
I'm sorry, what? It was 13.
13:16. Okay. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Now, I'm going to quote Romans 16. You probably got that in your hand there. Well, let's go back. Romans 16, and then we'll go back to Corinthians and finish up. Romans 16:25. Paul says, 25. He said, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to for the obedience of faith." Who sent him?
Jesus Christ.
He had a message that was not known before, but now it's known. And it's for how many?
All.
How many is all?
All.
How many are all the nations?
All.
Would that be
distinction?
Would that be the whole world?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Because I have no grammar, I guess.
Because I know how to read, right?
As Richard Dawkins would say, I can read.
So, what's wrong today?
You want a laundry list?
No, but I just
want to know.
We just looked at two verses in one book. Okay.
They don't accept Paul's apostleship.
Because they think that he's what? He sent himself.
Right.
Yeah. That he was a narcissist, he was a misogynist.
So if they reject him.
It doesn't even belong in the Bible.
If they reject Paul, who are they rejecting?
Jesus Christ.
And if they reject Jesus Christ,
God the Father.
So if they reject Paul, by association, they're rejecting God the Father. We just read it. Jesus said this: he that receiveth me, or he that receiveth whom I sent, receives me. And he that receiveth me receives him that sent me. If I send Paul to you and you receive Paul, you receive him that sent Paul. In every book he says, I'm the servant, I'm the apostle of Jesus Christ, sent to you nations. Now, back to Corinthians. I'm just saying this because when you get out there, this is step one, foundation. You get a guy, if you can't get him off that, pack the book up. Nice talking to you, sir, ma'am. Because they won't listen to anything else you have to say. That's step one, is recognizing the authority of the person that's sent to you. That's why it was so haywire in Corinth, because they said, he's nobody. That's why he has to write, and he says in verse 37, if any man, after I lay this order down, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the one who sent me. Let him acknowledge that. When he finishes up in 2 Corinthians, he says, I'm coming again, and I'm going to show you who I am. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. You know what he said? I'll be there.
Yeah.
He said, what?
I won't stay.
That's right. He said, what? You want me to come with a rod?
Yeah.
I can.
I'd rather not. But if that's what you choose.
If that's what it takes for you to believe this,
so be it.
I'll be there. But you know what? I like the graciousness of Paul. He says, but, he says, I'm coming. He said, not because the Lord has given me the power. We looked at this. For edification and not destruction. He says, I can do this. He's like, don't get it twisted. He says, let him acknowledge the things that are written in the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That's consistent with grace. The very people that God wants him to work with, the very people that God wants to work with him, and he equips them. We are a recipients of his grace. But he's, if you don't receive the message, he says, what?
Yeah, by choice.
By choice.
Yeah.
He said, I can't make you participate. I can't make you surrender. He said, look. And he said, I would not have you brethren, to be ignorant. He says, but, and when he finished Corinthians, he says this. He says, 15, he says, the resurrection. He says, some of you have not the knowledge of God. He said, I speak this to your shame. There's no reason. He said, I've been there. I've talked to you. I've taught you. I've written to you. And some of you still don't know. He said, that's a shame.
And he prayed the prayer for him. They would have wisdom and knowledge and the revelation.
Oh, isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Even today, with like they said, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, what's he doing today? Well, and they'll give you a long list of things that God is not doing. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. And he finishes up that problem. And you know what? What I like, he finishes out in his gracious fashion. He says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Grace. He knows it's wrong. He says, no, I set the order down. So when they see it's wrong, there'll be some that'll say, when they start speaking in tongues, you stop. Stop. Paul said it's gone. It's gone. He says, don't forbid that. Now, today they might say for us not to forbid that, but we know it's gone. There's no purpose for it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And he says, let all things be done decently and in order. Because God's a God of order. And he's forming. If you map this out, if you map this out, see this here? Can you see that?
He's got to be a God of order, because how else do we recognize?
This is the world. This is the world in Paul's day, the Roman Empire. He went to Rome. That was after 28, whatever. Here's Macedonia. Right? Corinth, Thessalonica. Here's Asia. Ephesus, Colossae, Galatia. Here's Jerusalem. All down here. When Paul said this, he said, the word of God has been preached throughout the whole world. That means everybody in the world knew what? They should have, shouldn't they? Paul says when he goes through and when he gets on his missionary journey and ends up over here, had never been there. But when they got there, he called for the Jews. He says, come here, I want to talk to you. And they says, okay. And he says, I got a message I want to talk to you about. And they says, we don't know who you are. But we do know this, that everywhere what you preach is evil spoken of. He hadn't hit the ground yet.
The word had traveled to him.
They knew. He got off the boat, called those people there, and they said, we don't even know you. But we know what you preach, and we know that people don't like it. He was the word of God was not bound. So there's no reason why things shouldn't have been done, even at this time, decently and in order, except for the fact that some were ignorant, and after being enlightened, they just completely rejected it. That's just like today, just like then, nothing's changed. But the year.
You remember at Wolf Chase Church, the pastor's wife? She said she didn't like Paul. And it's because she was out of order. She didn't want Paul to drink.
Yes, yes.
Well, y'all remember me telling you several years ago going to a either a Super Bowl party or a New Year's Eve party. A friend of mine I go to every year has these annual parties so everybody knows to come on certain days, and they're almost 95% of them that come are Episcopalians.
Mm-hmm. We're going to stop this here.
And I